Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I'm going to start a series in the flow of prophecy in the Bible. That's important that we understand the prophecies the way God wants them understood. Now, I did a little interesting reading last night in a book that was printed in 1902, and it was written by G.G. Rupert, and it was The History of Nations in the Bible, and in going through it, he understood quite a bit, but he couldn't put the sequence of Revelation together, and he was an ex Seventh-day Adventist, who became Church of God Seventh-day. Okay? Now, I learned another little interesting thing, which was this. The reason he goes by G.G. Rupert is because his first name is Greenberry. Now, I don't know who thought of that name as a first name, but probably his mother or father. Okay. And he did have some understanding about Israel and prophecy. So the question is, even in today's world, there are a lot of people who are saying that they're giving this prophecy and that prophecy, and they're reading this from the Bible and that from the Bible and putting things together. But when you listen to them, they miss a lot of very important things, which are keys to understanding what God is doing. And it's also very important for us to realize that it doesn't matter how brilliant anyone is, how much they have studied the Bible, there is a ceiling on their understanding and their minds if they don't do the first most important thing. Okay. Now, what is that? Come to Psalm 111 and verse 10. Now, that's what has happened to the Protestants. Now, I keep up on them pretty well from time to time, because when I get bored with the news, I turn on the religious channel and soon get bored with what they have. And they read certain scriptures, and then they fall off the cliff. Okay. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now people say, well, we have to love the Lord. Yeah, that's true. But you better fear the Lord if you're not going to do what he says. And look at the things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation. We'll eventually get there. And you better fear God and his might and his power and his capabilities, because who are we as human beings to tell God what to do? Now then, next, a good understanding. That means a right, a proper, a good understanding. Have all those, here is the requirement, who keep his commandments, his praise endures forever. Okay? A lot of people say if you keep the commandments, you're trying to work out your salvation. No, you're not. You're staying within what God has commanded. And if you read the Bible, you find out that the law of God is perfect. Now, do you think the perfect God of truth is going to take the perfect commandments and his laws and do them away because men misunderstand the Bible. No. And remember this. One mistake and error, uncorrected and unrepented, leads eventually to another mistake and error, which if not repent of, will sooner or later lead to another error and unrepentance. It builds. Now, if you don't believe that, think about all the people you knew who used to come to church where you went to church years ago. Where are they? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Okay. Let's read the first verse in Psalm 112. This answers the question. Because false Christianity today says that if you try and keep the law, you're under a curse. No, they know nothing about Judaism, and all of those references there are the laws and traditions of Judaism. Now, if you don't have our book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or A Religion of Men, you write for it. And if you don't believe that, go read Matthew 23. And you'll find out what Jesus thought of the scribes, the Pharisees, their traditions, their commandments, and their laws, which, even though they kept some of the laws of God, were contrary to the Word of God. You will see that he what? He called them fools and hypocrites. And in the Greek, fool is the word that we get in the English, moron. Now notice verse 1, Psalm 12. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man or the woman. You want the blessings from God? Is that what you desire? Huh? Who fears the Lord, who delights in his commandments, because you look at them and see how good they are. Okay? How righteous they are. Now let's come to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and let's see something else here. Because all prophecy has been hidden. Some cases it runs parallel. Some cases it's parts of it here, parts of it there, parts of it in the Old Testament, parts of it in the New Testament. Okay? So Daniel, one of the great men of God, and we're going to look at a lot of the things that Daniel was given to write down and preserve for us so that we can understand prophecies today. So at the end of all of this, Daniel wanted to know, when's it going to be? Same question we have today, right? When's it going to be? See? Now, a lot of these prophecies, you don't want to be around to see, because they're going to be very difficult indeed. Okay. As you can see by looking at what's happening today, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. So let's come to Daniel 12 and verse 8. And I heard but did not understand, and I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now you go back and you look at all the prophecies that he gave. Those are some tremendous prophecies stretching from that time clear on down to our day, to the return of Christ. Okay? So he said, that's the angel Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Okay? Now we read in other places that God hides things. And he hides it in plain sight, right in the Bible. And there are certain keys that we need to know to understand, which if we don't know them, then we're going to make mistakes. And one thing that's important, which is this, if you do make a mistake, correct it. Here's what he says, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Ha ha. That's exactly what we find today, right? And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, isn't that something? A good understanding of those who keep his commandments. The wise shall understand. And if you keep the commandments of God the way God wants them kept, you are wise. If any Protestants out there listening for the first time, surprise, Sunday never replaced the Sabbath by the command of God. Now, are you willing to repent and understand that you've been doing wrong all that time? All right? Now, I need to mention a couple of books that you need so you can understand. Okay? First one we're going to cover will be found in America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny. Who are the people of Jacob or Israel today? They didn't all die out, and they didn't all intermarry with the Gentiles. And God said in the book of Amos that he would not lose one seed of the house of Israel. Little sidebar, think on this. Have you ever read Revelation 7? A lot of you have. What's in Revelation 7? There's the salvation of what? First of all, the 12 tribes of Israel, beginning with Judah. And it lists every one of the 12, and there are 12,000 specially chosen out of each of the 12 tribes to make up the total of 144,000. Since that is an end time prophecy, what does this prove? Huh? It proves that 12 tribes of Israel are still here today. Right? How can you save 12,000 from each tribe if they've all intermarried into the Gentiles like the Jews say? And then the Jews take upon themselves to claim all the promises of God that was given to the 12 tribes. So they're stealing from their brothers. All right? Now then. The next one you need is this book, very important, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, because all of these things are appointed times, and many of them are all centered around the Sabbath and the holy days of God. So then you need this book. Now in its second edition, God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. See? So you put all of that together and you find out this. that unless you believe God and keep his commandments and live in the end times, you won't understand. So let's read on here in Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Okay. Where are the sacrifices to be offered according to the law of God? At the tabernacle or temple, right? Okay. And the abomination that causes desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. We're not told when that starts, but we can look and see when it's finished. Now, let's look at prophecy in the latter days to the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's come to Genesis 48 and 49. Now, this is going to be very important for us to understand. All right? Now, in Genesis 48, this is the account of the death of Jacob. And remember, all the other sons of Jacob sold Joseph into captivity and then faked his murder by taking blood from a goat and putting it on his coat and taking it to the father. Now you talk about a nasty, nasty, evil thing to do to a father, right? They said he's dead. And Joseph was taken, went into Egypt, served one of the Egyptians, then his wife, the wife of the Egyptian, tried to seduce him into adultery, and he refused, and then she falsely accused him, and he was thrown in prison. Okay. Then when he could tell the dream to the baker and to the wine pourer, okay, and he said, one of you will live and one of you will die. And sure enough, it happened that way. So when the Pharaoh of Egypt had a dream about seven fat calves and seven lean calves, he wanted to know what it meant. He had it three times. And then the one who lived to serve, the Pharaoh said, well, there's a man in prison named Joseph. He can tell you the dream. Okay. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this is all background for what we're going to understand concerning America and Britain today. Because, you see, history goes way back. And every word of God is true, and every word of God will be fulfilled. So when it came time for Jacob, whose name is Israel, to die, and he died at 147 years, so all of us who think we're old, get over it, we're not. We're just youngsters compared to the patriarchs. Okay? Now then. And he asked Joseph, his son, and we'll back up a little bit. When the famine hit, the whole family, including Jacob, whose name is Israel, ended up in Egypt, and they knew and understood that the second in command of Egypt was Joseph. Okay? Now, the patriarch is the one who gives God's blessing to the descendants. So the patriarch Israel, who's also called Joseph, also called Jacob, rather, called for Joseph and his two sons. Okay? Now, a little sidebar. At that time, Egypt was not ruled by the people of Ham. It was basically a white nation with many different nations in Egypt. Okay? Because there's a false doctrine out there that the descendants of Ham were the chosen people. But that's not true. So, Jacob called for Joseph and brought his two sons. Now, the two sons' name were firstborn Manasseh. Next one was Ephraim. Okay. And by this time, Jacob was nearly blind. So Joseph brought his sons in to be blessed by Jacob. Okay. And Jacob wasn't so stupid as Joseph thought. But he took his hands to put on the heads of the two boys, and the right hand should have gone on the head of the firstborn Manasseh, but he didn't. He put it on Ephraim and the other hand on Manasseh. Okay? Then he gave the blessing. Okay? And he said, "Let my name be named on them." Now that was quite a thing. Now, when that was given, God honored that blessing. And he said that Ephraim would be greater than Manasseh, but Manasseh would become great too. Okay? The question is, when? All right? Let's come to the next chapter. Genesis 49. Okay? So Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days." The last days. Okay? Now, when did they start? We don't know exactly. But we can make an educated guess. I'll get to that later. Then he goes through all the 12 sons. You can read the blessing that he gave to each one. Okay? Now when he comes to Joseph, verse 22, and keep in mind what it says, the last days. Okay? Because that's a phrase we're going to see, the latter days, and the last days, quite often as we're going through. Okay. Notice the blessing. Verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall, and the archers have fiercely attacked him and have shot at him and hated him. Now you think about that a little bit as we're going along. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, all the questions concerning these scriptures is answered in the book, America and Britain in Prophecy. Okay? Notice. Look at the blessing that comes. Remember how many times Britain and America have said, "We're great nations, we're great people, we're all of this, that, and the other stuff." Okay? That's true. But they haven't given God enough credit. Let's read on. Verse 25. By the God of your father who shall help you, may the Almighty bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors, and to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills they shall be upon the head of Joseph. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? He didn't say on the head of all 12 of them. Said on Joseph, which means his two sons. And on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader, who was separated from his brethren. Okay? Now, in the end time, when did it start? When did it start? It started with Queen Elizabeth I. And then the great storm that God brought upon the Spanish Armada that came to try and bring Britain, who at that time Manasseh and Ephraim and many of the 12 tribes were living in Britain. Okay? And God sunk the Armada. And by time the reign of Elizabeth came to an end, Britain, which included America at that time, became the richest nation in Europe. And those blessings came. And those blessings came because many times of war and conflict. Okay? So, is that when the last days began? And then look at what happened. You have the British Empire, and then you have the American separation from Britain with the Revolutionary War and the blessings that came upon us. You look at the blessings to Ephraim. He would become a company of nations, a great empire. And it was said when it reached its height that the sun never set on the British Empire. Right? Okay. And what did they bring? Now, they could have done better, but they brought English and what else? The Bible. Right? Yes, indeed. Okay. When America started, what did we base our start on? The Bible. The Word of God. Now, just in our lifetime, how many wars, well, you can go back and start with the Revolutionary War. That was a separation by God. That's why the British lost. Okay. Then you have the War of 1812. Britain wasn't happy that they lost the colonies, and they lost. And then you had the Civil War. That's not counting all the war with the Indians that you have. And the Indians were the Canaanites. Okay? Now then, America grew into being a strong nation starting after the Civil War. That was bloody. And Britain and the Vatican helped finance the Confederacy. Okay? But God didn't let them succeed. Now then, look at the wars that we've had to go through. Let's go back to the Spanish-American War with Teddy Roosevelt. Okay? And then we had the things leading up to World War I. Who saved the world? America and Britain. Then we have World War II. Who saved the world? Who is mighty in battle? Who is blessed of God? Who thwarted the thoughts of Herr Hitler to where he made stupid, bad decisions so the war could be won? America. Britain secondarily. But America came to the fore. Then after the war, America became the greatest nation in the world, exactly as God had said. And since that time, we've had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and then we've had two Iraq wars, had the Afghan War, and the War on Terror. Okay. So here we are, a great nation that once really honored God, but now we are not. Now we are looking to our own devices, Britain as well as America. And whenever you reject God, then you get yourself in trouble. Well, we've always had God and all of this. Let's come to Psalm 78. Let's see something important here. Psalm 78. Now, I want you to think about this in relationship to the children of Israel. Okay? Let's begin. Verse 34. Because here's what Israel has always done and what this nation is doing. And this is exactly what Protestantism is doing. Now think about this. Everyone, I don't care who you are, where you are, how young you are, how old you are, what language you speak, if you have a Bible, you are responsible to read it and study it and obey it. Because God has sent that to you. That means what? When trouble comes, you have no excuse. Right? Okay. Psalm 78, verse 31. The wrath of God came upon them and killed the strongest of them. Now think about that every time you watch this ad on the paper. Tunnels to Tower, wounded vets, all of those wounded, maimed and everything, okay? And killed the strongest of them and struck down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they still sinned and did not believe in his wonderful works. See, whenever you leave God and begin to trust in yourself, that's going to happen. Oh, we have on our coins, "In God we trust." Really? No, we don't trust in God. We trust in our lies. That's what's happening to us. We'll see here in a little bit. Verse 33. Therefore, he ended their days in vanity and their years in terror. Huh. What's the war we're fighting now? The war on terror. And guess what? The dumbest president America ever had let in thousands of terrorists. Okay? When that happened, they sought him. Now that's going to happen. That's happened many times. But it's going to happen again, January 8th, in Florida. They're going to have return to God, reconciliation, renewal, and repentance. Okay? And all of the same characters of the past are going to be there. But there's one thing that has to happen. And they turned back and sought God earnestly. Okay? Let's see how earnest it will be. Now, if I were there, I would tell Jonathan Cahn, you, being a descendant of the priesthood, are sinning against God because you are allowing those people who are not Jews to keep Sunday when the Bible that you profess to believe in the book of Isaiah, says the stranger is to honor the Sabbath and you don't teach them. You let them keep on with their Sunday worship. And when you had your great meeting in July, the year of the election, what good did your prayer do because you didn't return them to God? Huh? Where was the blessing you asked for? Because you didn't lead them to true repentance of their sins and lead them to keeping the commandments of God. Here's what you did. You brought them to remembrance of God, verse 35. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High was their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him. Isn't that what they do? Huh? Don't they flatter God? Oh, we love your grace. Oh, we love your love. Oh, it's unconditional. Well, if it's unconditional, then why are punishments of the things that we have described coming upon us? See? And they lied to him with their tongues. Because they didn't return to the truth. Now, what is all of that bringing upon us? See? Now, this has happened for the whole history of America. And the only place where the greatest number of true Christians really are in America. Because the gospel has to be preached from the United States of America. No other country in the world would tolerate it. And that's the only reason. Okay? They lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not steadfast with him. Neither were they faithful in his covenant. Faithful means you love and you obey. See? But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yea, many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and does not come again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Okay? How often in our cities do we provoke him? In the country, in our education, we provoke God. We teach there's no God. God's judgment is upon us. That's the first thing to understand. Now let's come to Jeremiah 30 and see what it's called. And what I want you to do, I want you to look at all the nations that are actually the descendants of Jacob. And I want you to go online and think about what's happening to them in their countries. I'll name them. Britain, America, Canada, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Northwestern Europe. Now stop and think about what's happening. Okay? In each one, there are varying degrees a punishment for leaving God. Well, how can that be? Well, how many have repented and returned to the true God to keep his commandments with the pandemic that's been going on? Not very many. Do we have a lot of trouble? Huh? Yes, we do. Look at it. That's all part of prophecy. That's living prophecy taking place right now. See? Jeremiah 30, verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah, the Jews. Are the Jews having trouble? There isn't a single day that they don't have trouble where the Jews are. For thus says the Lord, we have heard the noise of trembling, of fear, and not of peace, and see whether a man is giving birth. In other words, it's so bad and painful that it's like a man trying to give childbirth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all the faces are turned into paleness? For alas, that day is great, so that there is none like it. Now we're entering into it. How far into it are we? I don't know. If you look at what's happening in Australia and New Zealand, they're into it pretty deep. Because if you don't get the vax, you're going to go to prison. Oh, well, that's just a re-education center. Well, that's prison. And it is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Okay? So God is eventually going to save us out of it. So let's come back here to the book of Deuteronomy. Now again, the book of Deuteronomy 28 helps us to understand that these things are going to come in the latter days. Now, I don't have time to read the whole thing. Oh, I see we got to stop and take a break. Okay. So we'll take a break and we'll be back in 20. Let's continue on with Sabbath services. The flow of prophecy. And as I mentioned, you need the three books. And this is the one that's really the most important, is God's plan for mankind revealed by his Sabbath and holy days. And because they don't keep the Sabbath and holy days, they don't know what God is doing. Try it one time. Ask a Protestant, what's God doing? Huh? See? They don't know. Then, the appointed times of Jesus the Messiah. And you will be amazed what is in there. How that God does everything right on schedule. He's never early and he's never late. And then this book, America and Britain in Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny. Well, that's important for you to understand. All right? Question, since we're talking about Israel. We read the prophecies concerning the latter days for all the blessings, right? Now let's come to Deuteronomy 31. And let's pick it up here. Verse 23. This is just before they went into the promised land. And he, Moses, commanded Joshua the son of Nun, saying, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. See? Remember, God always has it written down. Then Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so that it may be there for a witness against you. Always there. For I know. Okay? So God knows. And think about it today. Think about it today, because we'll see what he says here in a minute, which is important for us to understand. We can't understand the rest of the prophecies adequately until we understand about the 12 tribes of Israel and Jacob's trouble. And there have been many different times when Jacob has been in trouble down through history, but then there is the trouble that comes at the last time. All right? Verse 27, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Now, you can even do that by being nice. Just by saying, well, that's your opinion. I don't believe it. That's still, if it's against God, rebellion. Behold, while I am alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Okay. Now think about that in relationship to what we have gone through as a church. Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, so that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. So we'll go back and read part of Deuteronomy 30 in a little bit. But he recorded all of the words first. Then he brought all the elders of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the head of the tribes, and read it to them. That's important. So we need to have it read to us today as well. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt. Are we utterly corrupt today? Did that happen with Israel down through time and cycles? Yes, indeed. But there comes a cycle which is at the end time. Are we corrupt today? Well, let's see a prophecy of that. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy. We will be back. Let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Let's see what God says. Okay? Now remember, these prophecies are thousands of years old now. And down through time, Israel has gone through the different cycles. That is, the various tribes of Israel, and especially Ephraim and Manasseh, the last 500 years. Okay? Isaiah, the first chapter. Now notice what God uses as a witness. It's a witness that won't die. It is always there. And because it's always there, that can be used as a witness continuously. Okay? Verse 2, Isaiah 1. Hear, O heavens. Heaven's still there? Yes, indeed. Give ear, O earth. Earth still here? Yes, indeed. For the Lord has spoken. I've reared up and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. Remember what Moses said? I know your rebellion, right? Yes. Now, it'd be real interesting if someone could walk into a big Protestant church and get up in the pulpit and give them a message that they need to repent of Sunday keeping and come back next week on Saturday. I imagine the deacons would be running up there to grab them and take them out right. Okay? That's their rebellion. They have always had their idols, they've always had their gods, and yet they claim the true God. Just like with the coming Christmas season. Let's put Christ back in Christmas. He was never there. See? Oh, let's have all these wonderful carols, beautiful music. That's how Satan tricks people into accepting lies. They don't even know it. They have the Bible, but they don't even read it. Okay? Now, God says, you're more stupid than an ox or a donkey. Okay? Verse 3. The ox knows his master and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. You don't know God if you don't love him and keep his commandments. Now, you may flatter him. You may give him a little honor. But as soon as you're done with that, you're out doing what you want to do. Okay? My people do not understand. Now, here's a phrase. This happened to the 10 tribes of Israel before they were taken captive by the Assyrians. This has happened to them down through history. Look at all the troubles they had after they had the Reformation and the translation of the Bible, of which William Tyndale was the main translator of it. Okay. Look at what they had because they had something very importantly wrong, which was this. It's still that way today in Britain. The crown is the head of the Church of England, not God. And that's why they are so corrupt today. And that's why they embrace Darwinism and worship their own intellect. In America, we have virtually the same thing. Okay? Do not understand. A sinful nation, people burdened with iniquity. We'll see what the burden of iniquity is. That's a lot. That's going on. And we need to understand that that's happening. Okay? Will you revolt more and more? Will you continue down the same path which brought you all of this evil and wickedness? Think about it. Why are we so lawless? Why is our whole educational system filled with Satanism and humanism? No one can learn about God. And then you go to the theology colleges, Protestants. They teach their own doctrines, misinterpret the Bible. I'll tell you one experience I had when I was flying back from Oklahoma. There was this young man who just graduated from one of the theological schools in Oklahoma, and he was on his way back to San Jose. And I heard him talking about the Lord and so forth, so that's when we had the New Testament in its original order published. Okay? So I gave it to him. I said, here, this is something you might enjoy reading. Well, about a month later, I got the cover of it sent back to me, ripped off with the most horrible denunciation you could imagine from someone who was taught to represent Christ. who said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, this ought to be banned. So you see what you're up against, the rebellion that's there? Okay. Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. If that doesn't describe Washington, D.C. and the President of the United States and all of the idiots that work for him, I don't know how much clearer the Bible can be. Okay. Why should you be stricken anymore? What are we stricken with? Illegal immigration, drugs, government overreach, sickness, disease. Now we're looking at financial ruin staring us right in the face. And when that comes, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to wish that they had listened to the Word of God. Because it's going to make the crash of 1929 look like a picnic. And it's going to come. From the sole of the foot, that's the least one in the community, even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been cleansed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Now look at what's happening. Think about all of this. Okay? Your country is a desolation. California is about ready to run out of water. Right? Why? It's one of the most sinful, God-rejecting states in America, filled with every evil under the sun. What are you going to do when there is no water? You better pray God will have a little mercy and send some rain. Here in Hollister, we had 2 days of rain in over a year, and that's after a dry year. And yet, they keep building more houses, more houses, more houses, more roads, more people. Next sentence. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence. Sound like the flood of immigrants coming in? To the tune of 2 million in less than a year. Oh, everybody come. But let's oppress the Americans who are evil racists. These things don't happen by accident. And it is wasted and overthrown by strangers. Okay. Now, there's a glimmer of hope, but not much of a glimmer, a little glimmer, which says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now, what happened to those two cities and two others next to them that agreed with them? They were atomized by God's sulfur and brimstone. So what do you think God's going to do? If you don't think it's bad, do a little research on San Francisco. That will say it all. And it's coming to every city in America if there is not repentance. And that's part of prophecy. And we are living in the flow of prophecy right now. Okay? except the Lord had left us a small remnant, that's a church. So he says this, hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me coming flattering God? Says the Lord. I am full of burnt offerings of ram and fat of fed beast. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required it at your hand to trample my courts? Today, to trample the word of God. And that starts in the pulpit. Who's required it? Not God. Who said the law of God is done away? Not God. Who has said his grace is forever? Not God. That's what's happening. Okay? So he says, bring no more sacrifice, incense is an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbath, your calling of assembly. Now that's their new moon. That's their calendar, the Roman calendar. And their Sabbaths, which are Sunday. Little sidebar. When I was pastor up in Salt Lake City, I'll never forget this. I was driving down this highway. Here's a big billboard. You know, now you know, in Salt Lake City, that's the home of Mormonism, right? They're very religious, right? They're called the Church of the Latter-day Saints, okay? Of Jesus Christ, okay? So here's this big billboard. And it said, remember the Sabbath. And I thought, wow, are there people here that keep the Sabbath? And then I read the line below. See you in church on Sunday. See? There it is. Exactly as the Bible has said. Your Sabbaths. Okay? Your new moons. Your appointed feasts. We're entering into that time again, right? They are a trouble to me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And it all lies at the feet of the religious leaders and the politicians. Every bit of that blood. Little hope. Will they repent? Verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, you see, because God always offers repentance. Here it is. They shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now notice the caveat. Next verse. If, jump to each one. You are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if, so there are the choices, you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, rather, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay? Now, when God says he has spoken it, he means business. That's why. So many things are wrong. Now, I don't know how they are in other churches of God. I hope you're all loving God, keeping his commandments, and staying away from false doctrine. But you can't be embracing false doctrine and false prophecies and expect you to be in right standing with God. Now that's up to you and your leaders. And there are some leaders that have a lot of repenting in the church of God to serve the brethren, because elders are here to teach the word of God and serve the brethren, not themselves. Okay? Now, let's come back to Deuteronomy 28. Remember what we said, the latter days? Okay? Now, I want you to go online to Church at Home, and if you think it's quite a long read to read, you'd rather listen. I have read that verse, the whole Deuteronomy 28, separately, and it's on churchathome.org. Okay? Now, I've also read it, if you have the Bible on your digital Bible, you have the audio of it that I read for the Bible. But want you to know, if you read it, you will see every single curse that God said would come upon us is there. Not one is missing. It is there. And in spite of all the doctors, in spite of all the money, in spite of all the health care, it's there. Because only God can take it away. Let's pick it up, Deuteronomy 28, verse 36. Now, this is all a part of the flow of prophecy. See? Because we need to know who we are, where we are, what is happening, and then we can look at the rest of the world. The Lord shall bring you and your king, which you have set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. Huh. We'll see what he says about that nation in a minute. Who is manipulating all the things behind the scenes with evil and determination? I'll give you one guess. China. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, and you shall become an astonishment. Isn't that true? You look at what's happening in some of the cities today. Is that not an astonishment? Look at all the homeless. Look at all the drugs. Look at all the people that are just nothing but sex fiends. How many are getting married today? Oh, I heard a man talking the other day, and not one of his children or children's children are married, but they're all shacking up. Okay? And that's repeated over and over and over again because there's no knowledge of God. Astonishment, a proverb. They will say, ha, 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 you said you trusted in God. Where is your God? Well, your God is right there in front of you, the enemy that he's appointed over you. A proverb, a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead you, and you shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather little in, for the locust shall eat it. We've had that. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout your coast, and you shall not anoint yourself with oil. The olive shall drop off its fruit. Verse 41, Here's where we are. You shall begat sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them. Isn't that true? Look at what's happened. All the terrible things that they go through. For they shall go into captivity. That's going to happen. All your trees and the fruit of your trees, the land of your land, rather, the locust shall possess. The stranger, now pay attention to this one. The stranger dwelling among you shall get above you very high. That process is happening right now. And I want you to understand it, because that fits right into the flow of prophecy. And you shall come down very low. How's that going to happen? He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him, or loan him, rather. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now, it's all set out there for us. What are people going to do? Well, I don't know how far this message will go, even though it's recorded. And I don't think there's a Protestant one that will listen to it and repent. Because you're all hard-hearted and evil and against God. Okay? And all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded. Okay? The very thing that you hear in church when you go is that God loves you and you don't have to keep the law. That is the greatest lie that there ever was. And if you believe that, you are deceived above all people, and God is going to bring upon you what he feels will be deserving. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your seed, that your children forever, because God doesn't do this without cause. Remember what it says? The curse does not come without cause. And all these things leading up to it are the curses. And the curses are the result of disobedience. See? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. I want you to think about that the next time you go into the store. And for the first time, it's beginning to happen. There are empty shelves in the store. And people complain. Were they thankful when they had everything? Did they bow their heads and ask God's blessing on their meal? Did they keep the Sabbath and holy days? Or was it everything and anything that they wanted to do because you had liberty and freedom? Well, for all the nations of Israel, and we mentioned them at the first, your liberty and your freedom will soon be gone. Now what are you going to do? All right. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you. Question. Did God raise up the Assyrians to take the 10 tribes of Israel captive? Yes, he did. Did God raise up Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take down Judah and Jerusalem? Yes, he did. And in each case, there were three invasions. And in each case, they all had a chance to repent. And in each case, they didn't repent. And the last one to cause Jerusalem to be burned to the ground with the temple was King Zedekiah. He called Jeremiah in, and he is wanting to know what would happen. And Jeremiah said, well, now you have to promise me you won't tell anyone. And he said he wouldn't. So he said, tell me what's going to happen. He said, if you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and become a captive of him, I will not destroy the city. Now think about the decision of one man, how much that meant. He said he wouldn't destroy the city or the temple. So he let Jeremiah go. He didn't believe Jeremiah, and he and his sons tried to escape out the back way and get away from the word of God. But the Babylonian forces trapped them, captured them, and took them right to Nebuchadnezzar. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He killed his sons. No heir to the throne in Jerusalem. And gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah. And took him captive into Babylon. And then God utterly destroyed Jerusalem and brought it to the ground. Now those are history's lessons for us. Because if we as a people, as a nation, and if we as people being the members of the Church of God, if we ourselves do not come back to God and follow his way, all of these things are going to happen because not one word of God will fall to the ground not being fulfilled. God offers repentance. So in the flow of prophecy, in the evil days we're living in, will you repent to God of your sins? And I can tell that group that's going to have this big revival January 8th in Florida, that unless you tell the people to repent of their sins and keep the commandments of God and keep the Sabbath of God and his holy days, your whole call to save the nation will be futile. I don't care how much television time you have. I don't care who you have there speaking. It will be futile. Because we're down to the point that God means business. And likewise with the world. And so that has to be the message they need to hear. But will they do it? Okay. Let me give you an example. The reason why you need to do that is you can turn to the book of Jonah. We won't turn there, but mark it down. When Jonah finally started preaching repentance that evil was going to come and God's judgment was coming upon the Assyrians, the king repented in sackcloth and ashes. And what did he say? What was the message to all the people of Nineveh? He said, all of you don't eat anything or drink anything, not even any of the animals. And cease your evil. And God heard that. So if you want your January 8th meeting to be successful, you need to call everyone to cease their evil. And then those who really repent, they need to be baptized. No more sentimental emotionalism of lovey-dovey is going to work. Be baptized and serve God. Now that's the only thing that will turn back the hand of God. Nothing else will do it. You can't say, well, we're good people. How are you good people when you reject what God says? We're the greatest nation on earth. Who made you the greatest nation on earth? God Almighty. And he's going to take it away. So repentance, as he has said, that will change the flow of history for a time. So come back next week. We'll start with the book of Daniel and see the flow of history which God has prophesied leading up to the end time and the days we are living in.